Jay's back in action tonight. It was a really cool, emotional night last night at the Rogers Center with Jose Bautista making his return. And to chat about that, among some other things, here is the GM of the Blue Jays, Ross Atkins, back on Overdrive. How you doing, Ross?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. We're doing well. I mean, we're just talking about the World Cup. I have a feeling I know what your answer is going to be because you're mid-season, so you got to be all baseball all the time. But do you ever get a chance to check out other sports or what?
Yeah, I mean, of course. You know, I'm a huge sports fan, and I appreciate the competitive spirit of all of them. I can't follow them by any means religiously, but love the intensity of it. And anytime somebody says something hot is going on, I try to turn it to that channel.
Absolutely. And that was the case last night, again, with Bautista in town. And I thought you guys handled it well. Take us through the idea of the video montage before the game. He was out stretching, and there were a fair amount of people already in the park, and you knew he was going to get an ovation whenever he stepped up to the plate. But, I mean, this was something we weren't certain was going to happen, considering he didn't sign with the team until it was Atlanta, and then Atlanta waived him, and eventually the Mets picked him up. But in terms of the plans, were you involved with saluting Bautista last night?
Yeah, you know, I think everything we do, we try to do collaboratively, and you know, ultimately, our communications department led that charge, and Marnie Starkman did an incredible job in thinking through not only what Jose has meant to this organization, but trying to find positive examples and good influences, and included, you know, Jose and his agent in that process as well. So, you know, when I say I'm speaking for the Blue Jays, you know, we just can't say enough about, you know, what he has meant to people, what he has meant to this city, what he's meant to the game, and certainly what he's meant to this organization from an impact standpoint. It doesn't get much better. He's an incredible talent, incredible baseball player. He still is, and love pulling for him.
Obviously, business gets in the way of relationships sometimes, and you guys didn't pick up his option last year. But for the most part, do you feel like the Blue Jays as a whole and Bautista, you guys are on good terms?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I stay in very good touch with his agent, and you know, stayed in contact over the off season and last year. Certainly, Jose was incredible last year with us. I mean, his professionalism, you know, given the situation that we were in and then where he was in his career and our downturn in performance, he handled it exceptionally well. So have a ton of respect for him, and always will, and he will be more than welcomed here. He'll always be celebrated here.
When we look at this team, Ross, you know, at the midway point of the season, what's been the biggest pleasant surprise and what's been the most unpleasant surprise you've seen?
I think our biggest pleasant surprise is just that our farm system continues to get better. We are making strides in every aspect of player development, and not only objectively does our talent pool continue to grow and improve, but I think subjectively what we're learning about our talent in the system, the pitching stories in AAA, Ryan Brucki and Sean Reed Foley and TJ Zoik in AA, we'll be excited to get Nate Pearson back into the fold. You know, that just continues to grow and grow and be indicative of a bright future. In addition to that, I think, you know, Sam Gavilio here in the big leagues on the pitching side, Grichik getting back to the form that we expected, how well Luke Maley has played on the major league side has been exciting. The Granderson contribution has been incredible. Jay Happ has obviously been incredible, but those are maybe the more obvious ones. So from the disappointment standpoint, it's just, I mean, listen, we knew in 2015 that we had an older roster and it would be difficult to maintain health and difficult. It's just there's historical evidence there that when you are one of the oldest position player teams in baseball, we're actually playing one of them right now. It's hard to stay healthy. It's hard to keep guys on the field, not for 162, but even for 140. So, you know, we were hopeful to acquire enough depth to, you know, potentially sustain some big blows. But, you know, taking the blow of Troy Tulowitzki in spring training, not having one day of him to date, and then the blow of Josh Donaldson early on in the season, Marcus Stroman early on in the season, That is, you know, not having Roberto Osuna on our team. Those are really, really tough to overcome. Those are, you know, arguably our four best players. So that has been the most disheartening.
With Ross Atkins, GM of the Jays, I find it interesting. You mentioned that you knew back in 2015 that this could be coming. You had a veteran-laden team at that point, and you remain one of the oldest teams in the league, if not the oldest team in the American League. Yet, since then, you have contributed to that age with the signings of Morales and Pierce and Granderson. So if you knew that back in 2015, why did you continue to sign and bring in these older guys, quote-unquote?
Well, your alternatives in free agent are only those ages. So the only other alternative would be make, you know, big trades, which means subtracting from your youth ultimately, because you're subtracting from your farm system. So to acquire the, you know, the 25 to, you know, 27 year old established major league veteran, you're trading away, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 19 to 21 year olds, right? So there's the give and take. And so you go into free agency, you're not getting younger. We knew that. But our effort to get younger is to build our farm system up, which we have focused on the entire time and will continue to focus on, and not, you know, not traded away from it greatly when, you know, that at the start. And this is by no means an indictment. I think, you know, there was a lot of very, very good things done here, obviously, before we got here. And that's in player development, scouting included. It's not that we came here and had to, by any means, make corrections. It's just we had to build upon the situation we were in. And what we've tried to do is sustain a winning team without compromising too much of our future. We know we've made our future brighter, and we just weren't able to sustain the winning team in 17. And, you know, in 18, our health is, it's really hurt us.
Well, in terms of the health, I mean, Donaldson's is the guy that gets the most focus considering his contractual scenario. You know, we're into June now, and or into July now, I should say. So we're talking about the trade deadline basically on a daily basis here. What can you tell us about the latest on his status and how his injuries this year may affect your approach at the trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, there's kind of, if you just isolate Josh Donaldson, well, our focus right now is just how do we help him get back onto our team? Every day that he's here, we're better. It's been difficult for him. It's been difficult for us. And, you know, similar to Jose, I just can't say enough about his professionalism and how he's continued to persevere through it, because dealing with four calf injuries over the span of 2 years has been very, very difficult for him, and it's hurt us a great deal. He knows that, and it's been hard on him. So, you know, how we handle that moving forward is really we just focus on getting him healthy, and then we'll understand what the opportunities are ahead of that.
You know, the trade deadline, the non-waiver deadline is coming up at the end of the month, and you're obviously going to be a team that people are going to look at to make a move. How heated are those discussions right now? How much discussion is happening at this stage?
Yeah, I mean, they're always occurring. They began well before the deadline, and that's the case regardless of what your circumstances are. All teams are in constant communication, and every day you're learning more about what the opportunities are to buy, to sell, to just to put yourself in certain categories is not how we like to do business. We like to understand any and all opportunities that we're going to have. And, you know, ultimately, as I've stated, we have started to think this year, the arrow has started to point a little bit more towards the future than the present, as you've seen in the Steve Pierce trade. And we're excited about the acquisition and Espinal. And so we'll work tirelessly to understand where those opportunities are, and we already have a great feel for the market because the conversations, they probably have ticked up a little bit sooner this year, you know, with the gap in the number of teams, certainly in the American League, that are squarely in it. So, but it's, man, it's constant, and, you know, I think any executive in baseball or in sport would tell you that never stops, and it's very fulfilling and gratifying. It's fun work. It's very, very hard work. It takes, I think, to get the best deals done, it takes a very collaborative effort. One of the things that I think is maybe helpful to shed some light on is the hard part of getting a good deal done, or even a fair deal that's good for both teams, is really knowing the talent for other organizations. So, as you guys know very well, that there's, you know, 8 minor league teams under all 30 of those major league teams. So understanding the 180 times whether you're studying 16 teams harder than the other 14, that's still a massive, massive amount of talent to try to get your arms around. So if you know it, you know, as well or better than others, it just makes you that more agile and able to move when you do have opportunities to acquire talent.
With Russ Atkins, GM of the Jays, it's Jays Mets down at the Rogers Center tonight. The large portion of the focus from our perspective in terms of the conversations and debates over who could get dealt and who could be available, largely veteran guys with contracts that are up, guys like Happ, like Estrada, who got injured last night, like Donaldson. But do you place a limit on that? Or, in other words, if a GM calls up and wants a younger player, Stroman, Sanchez, maybe Grichuk, who's really turned a season around, are you listening on those type of players, or are you only focused on the guys whose deals will be up at the end of the year?
You know, the very broad and easy answer is, you know, it's more challenging to trade players under control. That's the more broad and easy. It's not as defined. It's hard to flush out that market. So typically at the deadline, all teams are more focused on short-term deals, and the quote-unquote rental players or the guys on expiring contracts are, you know, that's where you can get more efficient work done. So you could potentially get bogged down by, or change the market even by, you know, adding players to that pool. That doesn't mean they don't occur. Obviously, they do. But you have to share that work, and you have to share that work with the other teams. So, you know, our energy and effort from day one has been to avoid any significant lulls in performance and, you know, ultimately competitiveness. So although it's been very frustrating in 17 and 18 and a disappointment that we're not in contention, the silver lining is we've weathered a bit of the storm. And as I've said, you know, our system is a lot better for it. We've moved objectively from, you know, the bottom third and overall talent to the top third. And young, controllable players, as you can see, is what ends up winning World Series, World Championships.
Well, and Aaron Sanchez being one of those guys, and alarm bells going off a couple of weeks ago in Anaheim when he left the game and listed as a contusion on his finger, but he's missed a couple of starts. The initial hope was he'd only miss one. He's already missed two. And based on my understanding, and you can update us on this, I don't get the impression like he's really even throwing right now. Obviously, because of his blister history, that's why a lot of people are cynical here and wondering what's going on. What can you tell us about the specifics of the injury, and what should we expect out of Sanchez?
100% unrelated to any blister issue. As he stated, it was a really unusual accident that just happened with his luggage, and the bruising was just slow to, the swelling was slow to move out of the finger. So, you know, because it's such a fine motor skill that command is everything, it's not something that you can expedite. The power is still there. The strength is still there. He did throw the last 3 days. I would expect him to be on a mound within hours, you know, not multiple days. We're talking 1 or 2 days. So, you know, feeling much better about his progress, but it was a little bit slower than we expected.
Ross, a month from today, Roberto Osuna is eligible to come back for you on August 4th. His suspension is over. And you made some comments a few days ago about, you know, he's our closer. And you said, we're running a baseball team. Our goal is to win championships, and he can be part of that. There's been some blowback on that. Do you understand why that would be? And just explain to us what your position is on him.
Yeah, of course. I mean, of course, understand that. It's a very, very difficult situation that we don't take lightly. And, you know, as I think in addition said to that, you know, empathy is a great part of where our focus and energy is for everyone involved. There's a lot that still has to occur in this investigation, and ultimately that's not our area of expertise. feel very fortunate that Major League Baseball has taken the lead and feel comfortable with the discipline that has occurred, which was significant. And, you know, ultimately, we'll let the investigation continue and run that process. But as it relates to the baseball team, when his suspension is over, he will be in a position to pitch for the Toronto Blue Jays again.
Even if he's due in court in a few days, even if his court case is still pending, he would pitch for you?
Yes. I mean, ultimately, that may not be in our hands. Like, as it relates to baseball, as it relates to us, if his suspension is up and he is able to go back to work, then he'll go back to work. Now, again, like, with all due respect to the investigation, that is not up to us. And we will be supportive and follow the lead of the Toronto Police Service on that.
Are you in constant contact with him, relatively constant? I mean, where is Roberto Osuna, and how often are you talking with him?
You know, as much as I'm in touch with Troy Tulowitzki, and as much as I am in touch with players who are away from our team, he is working out in our facility, so he's in constant communication with members of our organization. He's there every day. And it's, you know, it's, I stay in touch. I talk to him, roughly every week or two. And in today's world, as you guys know, players are, or people are, using text messages a great
right.
deal. So, and text messages here and there. So, yeah, I mean, again, like this is a very, very difficult situation for so many people involved, and a very difficult one for us. But, ultimately we control what we can.
Well, and that's the reality of such a delicate scenario. I mean, even on the radio, we've talked a little bit about it, but we don't even know all the details. I mean, there are reports out there, there could be a video, and that's where I think it gets interesting. From your standpoint, Ross, and I'd be curious to get your take on this, because if there is a video and if it comes out and it's highly incriminating, you can only imagine what the blowback's going to be within the market. And I think that's why your comments earlier in the week caught a lot of people off guard, because the court of public opinion, I'm not sure the jury's in yet. So is this a scenario that would go potentially all the way up the chain? Would ownership have to be included if it gets to a point where something drastically changes here with Roberto Osuna and the marketplace drastically changes their attitude about the whole scenario?
Well, I mean, obviously, we don't have much more information than you. Again, this is not our investigation. This is at a much higher level when it comes to investigation. So if more information does come out, we can certainly adjust.
Right. Well, we look forward to seeing what you guys have in store over the next few weeks in terms of the trade deadline.
And the Yankees coming in?
Yeah, I'll be down there on the weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing the Yankees, really. But I'll obviously be looking forward to seeing how the whole crowd sets up. And, I mean, you got a lot of games left, so I guess we'll see how the rest of this season plays out. Thank you for doing this, as always, Ross.
Okay, Brian and Gord. Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a good day.
Ross Atkins, the GM of the Jays.